A jig is a jig is a jig is a jig. Nope, not hardly. And when you're Gary Klein, you know a lot about the jig. And Gary, you know, you as Spro Corporation have come up with a absolute killer new product, and you've got to be very proud of seeing this thing come together.
Well, I really am, Terry. You know, it's a great opportunity to work with a company like Spro and Gamagatsu that gave me the freedom to design the hook for the jig. And I think that was, without a doubt, the most important part of the jig is the hook and the shape of the head.
Well, you know, I guess the first thing is, you know, I started this with a jig as a jig, but in reality, they're not all created equal, and there are a lot of specialties that the guys who really throw them and know them well know, but you've really put everything that you know in all these years that you've been fishing tournaments and doing well into this one jig, and it's really a killer deal. I got to throw it a little bit. I absolutely love it. And tell me a little bit and let the listeners know exactly what went into this thing.
Well, first of all, you know, what you were saying is correct. You know, a jig is nothing more than a weight. And, of course, now we have tungsten and lead that's actually applied to a hook, some with weed guards, some without weed guards. You can add a skirt to them and put a trailer on them and fish them in heavy cover to catch fish or in open water and catch fish. A jig is probably one of the most versatile artificial baits that's ever been invented or created or designed to catch bass. It's just such an efficient tool. I've always tried to pride myself of being a perfectionist, and what that basically boils down to is if I receive 10 bites during the course of a day, I want to catch all 10 fish. I don't want to lose any. I don't want to miss any. And the most important element in a jig is the hook. You have to have the hook designed correctly. Being the correct design head, because it's a package deal, to improve your percentages. And so when we started this project, I had the opportunity to work with Gamagatsu, and they designed my hook, and they built it to my specs. And that was real, real important because, you know, if any of us have been fishing for any length of time, we've often heard that, you know, a bigger bite means, you know, in other words, a wider gap means a better hook. And it's not necessarily true because the wider you increase the gap on a hook, the more flex you have in the metal, and the less you get away from what we call a direct line of pull. So what I did, instead of taking an existing hook and putting my design head on an existing hook, I built the hook first and then designed my head. And the way I increased my bite of the hook was not by making it wider or deeper, but what I did is I rolled my eye more forward. So it's not a traditional jig hook. And I embedded the eye into the head so that literally when you tie your knot, that's the only thing that is above the surface of the head is the tie of your line. So everything is retracted. Real nice wide bite, round bend, and a needle point.
I know you're such a perfectionist, you know, when you talk about a hook design, it also talks about the strength of the hook and some of those kind of things, and you were very specific about what you wanted there.
Well, exactly. You know, you get, you know, strength of hook by diameter of wire and by the temper of the metal. And, you know, it's all give and take. There's good hooks that are made that are real brittle, and they catch fish like crazy, but eventually they will break. So, you know, it's a trade-off, especially when you're trying to, you know, create something that is perfect, right on the edge. And I feel that's what we did with the Spro baits. They're called the K-heads. The K-head, I designed that for a shaky head style worm, a round ball head with a Gamagatsu 3-aught needle point hook. I mean, it's the most awesome hook. You know, you get 10 bites, you boat 10 fish. You just don't miss them.
Right.
And they don't come off after you get them hooked. And then I carried that same philosophy into a finesse series of jigs that we call a K-finesse, and I have a 4-aught hook in it. Now, a lot of people think it's a finesse hook, and it is a finesse hook. However, you can flip it on heavy string, too, and it won't flex on you. I've got it, you know, just a perfect wire diameter, and I'm also coming out with a K-flip jig, and I've got a 5-aught Gamagatsu redesigned hook in that head. But, God, they're awesome, Terry. I mean, they're just... We got the right colors, we got the right head design, but most important is we have the perfect hook. And it's an exclusive hook built only for the K-heads through scrub.
Well, I laugh because if there wasn't a flipping jig in there, I'd tell Tim Norman, everybody down there, Sid, and everybody, I'd say, what are you, crazy? This guy's the utmost guy in the world in flipping and pitching. You know, Denny Brower, Tommy Biffle, and Gary Klein, you know, you got to think about having that flipping jig. But, you know, Gary, I remember I got to throw some of the prototypes this past fall, and I actually was able to swim the jig. And, exactly. You know, we're over 35 feet of water. It balanced perfectly. It comes through the water perfectly, no matter just about whatever trailer you put on it. And when they hit it, they're stuck. And that's really a cool deal. And guys that maybe haven't, you know, been able to swim a jig before, it may make them be able to put a few more fish in the boat, too.
Oh, exactly. You know, that's one of the key things about a jig. It's like you said, you know, we have lead, we have hook. And, of course, the angler's got to work on his technique to make it as efficient as he can. But I know that when I have that tool in my hand, if I get in an area and I get the bites, I'm going to see the fish. I'm going to boat those fish. But a jig is so versatile. Terry, I mean, I fish a jig on top water fast. I fish a jig swimming it deep, crawling on the bottom, fishing heavy timber, fishing open water. It's just like fishing a spinnerbait. And that's really what a spinnerbait is. It's nothing more than a jig with a wire extension and some blades to displace the water.
Well, you know, Gary, I look at Hartwell now coming up, and I know you're in the process of going down there and taking a look at that body of water, but you think about the opportunity now with this jig that you've come out with and this fishery, it's got to match up pretty nice for you now that you can get them from Spro whenever you want them, which you could have before. It's still pretty neat. Now, this thing's going to be good timing for you.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, last year was a jig bite on Lay Lake. I was fishing with my prototypes in that event. I had two rods laid on the deck, the entire Classic, and both of them were jigs. I had a 3/4 ounce jig tied on, a casting rod, and then I had a 5/16 inch jig tied on the end of my flip stick. And that's all I fished the whole tournament. The difference between Lay Lake and Hartwell this year at the Classic is we have no aquatic vegetation in Hartwell. So I think that's even going to lend more to the jig. The jig bite is going to play a very, very important role at that event.
Well, you know, not only have you become everybody knows that when they talk about jig fishing, there are very few people that know it better than you, but then you've come out with a few more products for Spro that are going to be neat for you as well, and tell me about those if you would.
Well, I tell you, you know, I was real fascinated with the introduction of a lot of new baits during the course of the year, and, you know, obviously the chatterbait just took the fishing world by storm because there were some really good events, but, you know, again, that's a swimming jig that has a blade on the head of it. A great tool, and it catches a tremendous amount of fish. However, I was losing about 40% of the fish that would bite that bait, and the majority of the fish that I would lose were the really big fish, you know, the 6, 7s, and 8 pounders. The big fish get that whole bait in their mouth, but in order to make that bait wiggle, they have a metal blade attached, and that metal blade would actually pin on the inside of the fish's mouth. He would come up and jump and just throw the bait, and the hook would never penetrate. So I like the bait. I love what it did. But the way my mind works, I keep thinking, how can I improve on this bait? So what I did is I worked with Spro. I used our real-life head with the 3D eyes. I designed my own blade. But what I did different is instead of having a fixed single jig hook, I actually put the Spro frog hook with a 3/0 Gamagatsu hook. Mm-hmm. So now when you're fishing that style of bait, both of them are sitting on the outer edge of the blade. And I took a hook ratio from about 60% up into the high 90s of, you know, bite to boat ratio with that new bait.
And it didn't change the action either, did it?
Did not change the action. And, you know, having those two hooks sitting out there, you think, yeah, it's not going to be quite as weedless as the other one. It will surprise you how weedless that bait is.
Well, Gary, I tell you what, man, I'm excited about Hartwell. I'm going to be down there, you know, pulling for you as I always am. You know, you and I've had lots of times where we've got to fish the Classic together, you know, and I've ridden in a lot of boat rides with you, but I'm pulling for you, and thanks for spending time. I know you're on a busy schedule, and I appreciate you spending time with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Well, Terry, thank you very much, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners about new products because, you know, that's one of the neat things about being in my position is, yeah, I'm a professional angler, I'm a competitor, but I also like to improve, and if I can improve on baits, then it'll make a better fishing experience for everybody.
Well, I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.